Good morning. Open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're going to look at a couple different verses today than what we have been. Before we get to that, I have a question for you. How many of you know Marion Robert Morrison? Somebody you all should know of. Marion Robert Morrison. Don't know him? How about John Wayne? Same guy. He was born May 26, 1907. He died on my birthday in 1979, June 11th. He was nicknamed the Duke, was an American actor. We all know about him, right? How many of you know him? When I was in Spain, I got to go by his residence. From the side, it looks like a stagecoach. The balcony is where you put your feet in a stagecoach. Interesting place. We'll get to the reasons why I'm telling you about John Wayne, or Marion, as he was known as a child, in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. And this is a prayer of Paul. Some of our translations break it up a little differently, but this is all considered a prayer of Paul for the church, for us as well. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. As I said, this is a prayer of Paul, and it's for that congregation of God's church in Ephesus. It is directed straight at them and all believers. And we, through reading through these first three verses, can glean from that and apply what is there to where we're at in our lives as individuals and as a congregation of God's church. His prayer is in response to the 12 verses that were before that, which we covered in the last 2 weeks in the sermons, and that he has also heard about their faith and their love. I want you to think about how he would have heard. You got to understand that when Paul wrote this, he was in jail in Rome. Ephesus is a fair distance away. How would he have heard about what was going on? Well, if you do a little research, you will find out that, and I'm going to mispronounce this guy's name, Tychicus, either way, had come from Ephesus to visit. And he actually carried the letter back, this letter. But there were many others that came. And all the people would have came and talked to Paul. Paul had to have asked, how's the church? How's the church? What have you heard? And people responded. The people that came to visit told him of the church that was going on in Ephesus. Paul had taught there for 3 years. So he wanted to know. He knew these people. He cared about them. He wanted to know what was going on. There had to be a want-to on Paul's part. His love had to be there to ask that question. But so what does that say about Paul? Obviously, he cared and loved them, right? He was interested in what was going on there. And he wanted to see them prospering. This is one of the few letters where it's not a letter of reprimand. We'll get to some of those, I'm sure, eventually. But this is not a letter of reprimand. This is a letter of caring and love. And yes, he has some things in there that we can all learn from, but it's an encouragement letter. How many of us know what's going on within our own congregation? I mean, really understand what's going on. How many of us know what the church is doing? Church in general, church here. How many of you have heard about the revival that's taking place right now in Asbury? couple. That's part of the church. There's something going on that we need to be aware of. We need to be more aware of what's going on around us. We are able to communicate instantly with anyone we want. If I know your name, I can go on Facebook, look it up, and send you a message. Right? And you'll get that message. And you can choose to respond or not. And we can become Facebook friends. Oh boy, is right. So exciting. But how many of us, when we look around this morning and we see that someone that's sitting, you know, on that side of the church, and, or maybe there's on that side, and you know how they are. So how many of us look over there and say, hey, you know, I don't see that person that used to sit on the end of the aisle over there, or that person behind me or in front of me. How many of us are taking the time out of love and being interested in what's going on with them to look them up and find out information about them? Because you can find out information about me by going online and looking. You can look on my Facebook page. You can look at a lot of different things. You can Google me and I'll pop up. Same with all of you. We can find out about people. We can find out about a church, a congregation. And yet there is a lack of communication amongst the congregations themselves, amongst this congregation, for instance. And it's been every congregation I've ever been in, whether I was visiting or just, there's a lack of communication within the congregations. And then in the community, there's a lack of communication between the different congregations and fellowships and traditions. Shame on us. We should be communicating as much as possible. And I will say that within most congregations, we tend to blame our lack of communication or our lack of knowledge on leadership. I mean, they should tell us what we're doing, right? That's a two-way street, you can ask. And I don't know what you don't know. You don't know what I don't know. But if we ask, we can learn about, we can grow, we can start to understand one another a little differently than what we have in the past. We can text them, we can FaceTime them, we can communicate many different ways. This congregation in Ephesus was known for their faith and love. What are we known for? I have known of congregations because of their infighting. I have heard about congregations that are great at giving. I've heard about congregations, and you can fill in the blank, that there was a big split in the church over the color of the carpet. It happens. Don't laugh. It's very true. And shame on us, again, for being that way. We have to learn to care enough to do something about what we see going on, especially amongst our own congregation. We don't want to be known for infighting, discord, legalism, hypocrisy, or the embracing of sin. We can love the sinner and hate the sin, okay? Doesn't mean we have to accept the sin, we accept the sinner where they're at, because all of us have been someplace we don't usually want anybody to know about. Sin corrupts and destroys a congregation from within. But a congregation should be welcoming, as I said, to each and every person that walks through the doors of our building or your building at home. In verse 16, Paul writes of being thankful for them. Are we thankful for our brothers and sisters within our own congregation? For all that is done to lead and teach and care for help? And are we grateful for all that God has supplied? Because every person that walks through the doors of this congregation, of this building, is from God. It's a blessing. They are a blessing from God. And they're here for a reason. We need to be grateful for what God has supplied. We need to develop a spirit of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude for all that God is doing through those who serve and for those who are here as our brothers and sisters to participate in worship and prayer and for the everyday blessings of God. A while back, Mindy and I's hot water tank went out. We went 3 days without hot water. I thought it was the end of the world. How many of us take things for granted? How many of us take people for granted? How many of us take the church for granted? And we need to remember and be thankful. You see, being thankful to God in prayer reminds us of how blessed we truly are and where those blessings come from. Paul's doing that. He's thanking God for them. He's not thanking God that he was there, spent 3 years teaching them. He's thanking God that they're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's thanking God that they're participating in the sharing of the gospel. You see, when we are thankful with and for one another in the church, we've been thankful to God and we're thankful for the blessings. But those people are also blessings. What they do is a blessing for us. We need to do that because it encourages and it inspires. That's what Paul's doing right here. He's writing a letter of encouragement. I told you that. He's encouraging them. He prays for them, for the Spirit to give them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Wisdom. We don't want to be... Wisdom is the ability to know right from wrong. It is the ability to use the knowledge you have in the right way. There are many educated, very educated people, very intelligent people who have great knowledge, but no wisdom. No wisdom. You see, without wisdom, all that stuff is in vain. If I don't know how to apply it and when to apply it, God gives us His wisdom as He gives us the knowledge that we need. He helps us. You need wisdom to know when and where to apply the knowledge God has given you. And God gives us that as well. Spiritual revelation now is usually given according to one's worthiness, desire, and preparation. Okay? You are made worthy in Christ, first and foremost. None of us are worthy apart from Christ. You have then to decide how much you want to learn and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to decide that. And if you have a want to, you're going to be seeking God. You're going to pray and you're going to seek Him and you're going to study God's Word. And as you're doing that, as you're preparing yourself, He works through that. In that preparation, God reveals things to you, and it's for you. When we learn together, you're going to get something I'm not going to get. When you're doing it silently at home, when you have that devotional time in the morning, which I know you all have, you're going to grow. You're going to learn. He's going to apply it to your life, and it's going to apply that what you're learning different from what He does to me. Because we're different, and yet we're all here together. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. we get spiritual discernment. We ask for it all the time. I pray for wisdom and spiritual discernment on a regular basis. And yet I really don't need to, because the Holy Spirit lives within each of us. And He gives us that as we need it. I'm still going to ask, because I want an extra dose. Okay, just right up front. Paul's writing to them because he wants them to have wisdom and spiritual revelation in the knowledge of God. But having knowledge of someone or something is not the same as knowing, which we talked about earlier, right? You can get all the information on someone you can get, but that doesn't mean that you know them. I saw where John Wayne lived. I've watched almost all his movies, even the ones that were in black and white. I never knew his name was Marion. I never sat down at dinner with him. I saw where he lived. I didn't know him. How many of us have knowledge of God but don't know him? How many people out there in the world have knowledge of God but don't know him? It's not what you know of. It's that you know God and your neighbor. It's not what you know of someone or something. It's that you know them. That you have a relationship with them. First with God, and then with your brothers and sisters. And you get to know someone by investing time in in building a relationship with them. Not any of you, or very few of us now, are introduced to our soon-to-be spouse on the moment that we're getting married. Used to happen. Still happens in some communities. But we get to know someone. We come to love them, and we want a relationship with them. That's with friendships. That's with marriage. That's with anything you can think about. Those you work with may drive you up a wall because you've got to know them. Yep. Careful. There's always one in a crowd or two. But we do. We need to know each other. I know that working with some of the people that I worked with when I was helping to build homes, I knew their strengths and their weaknesses. I knew where I could depend on this person and where they would need help because they just didn't know, or they were weak in that area. We need to know that about each other because God knows it for certain about us. Do we know God well enough that we can count on Him to help us to understand that other person so that we can grow in our knowledge of one another and at God at the same time? As we grow in our knowledge of God, investing time with Him, as I said, in prayer and in His Word, with other Christians, we not only get the breadth of knowledge about God, but we get depth of knowledge. We come to know Him. We get in depth. Does that make sense? That's what we need to understand. We need to spend that time, invest that time with God and with others who are seeking to grow also. Iron sharpens iron. We have to remember that. But blood-bought believing Christians love God and one another. Jesus said that people will know you are His disciples by your love for one another. Love should be the overall guiding force behind all that we say and do. We as believers should understand that we cannot show our love for Jesus in any other way than by loving one another and reaching out with and in that same love to those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Love should be the compelling force. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do as I command. And then He said, this great big word, go. Go. Be active. Make disciples. Be my witnesses. All of those things. Go. And we're to do it in love. Just as the Ephesians were known for their faith and love, we too should have that same reputation, no matter what congregation it is, no matter what church it is, we should be known for our faith and our love as Christians. Both as individuals and as the church, as a congregation. We should be known for that. But I believe that we should also be known as a praying church. I've been in churches where the kneelers, if you will, were off to the sides, up against the wall, never used. It breaks my heart thinking about it. I've been in churches where there's not enough room at those same kneelers. And they're using the steps. They're using whatever they can get to come forward and pray. They don't care who knows that they're praying. They don't care what anybody, if I want prayer, I'm going to stop along the way and say, hey, would you come and pray with me? We need to be known for our prayer as a praying church. One that cries out to God. In a day when the prayer service is a thing of the past. How many prayer services do you know going on in Grass Lake right now? Not at this moment, but in the evenings on Wednesdays. They're non-existent for the most part. And if they're attended, it's poorly. We need to get past that. We need to be like Paul. He prayed for the churches. He prayed for that one specifically as he did the others. He prayed for the individuals. One website that I looked up said that there were 43 prayers of Paul listed. 43 prayers that he prayed for others. 43 prayers that he prayed for. And in some of those prayers, he prayed for the lost. He prayed for those who did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans 10 is one of those. In Romans 10. Should we not be doing the same? This past week, and you'll pardon me if I get emotional, this past week has been a roller coaster. Last Sunday night at the Grammys, there were some detestable things done that sickened me, that our country has fallen to the point where morals are no longer even cared about. That was such a blatant display of immorality. And people watched it. Oh, it's just a song. Oh, it's just fill in the blank. Why does this happen? Why are we allowing it? How could it have happened in a country that is supposed to be a Christian nation, that is supposed to be morally guided by a God who loves them? You see, that gave us in the church a true look at what the world thinks of us as Christians, how morally corrupt things are, and it showed us what is accepted and encouraged in this country. Isn't it time for us to pray? Right now, in Asbury College, revival has taken nonstop since Wednesday. To my knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, it's still taking place this morning. They are still in that building, have not left since Wednesday. They are praying and it is spreading. It is at the University of Kentucky and the University of Ohio. Revival is taking place right now in our country for the first time in a long time. 1970, it started in Asbury College as well, and it spread. Brother Darrell Allen, and I was trying to remember his name this morning and couldn't, Evan. I knew him as Bear. I know him as Bear. That's how I was introduced to him. He went to Asbury to check it out. It's real. It's taking place. We can be a part of that. We need to pray. And these are very familiar words. 2 Chronicles 7:21. If my people, if my people who are called by my name, Christians, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. If this land has ever needed healed, wasn't Sunday night an example of what it needs healed from? In Ephesians, just a couple pages over from where we're at right now, in chapter 6, verse 12, I got to find it. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, present here darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. I'm inviting every one of you, I'm asking every one of you to come and pray for this country. We're going to do this again on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Go have your Valentine dinner with your loved one. Enjoy yourselves. Come back here and pray. Pray for our country. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now, to pray for your country, to pray for our country, to pray for the kingdom, to pray for your brothers and sisters to be bold in their witness. Because if there's ever a time to rise up and be the church, it's now. What are we going to do? Are we going to pray against those forces, against the darkness that's taking place? Or are we going to be complacent? I, for one, am going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to join me. I'm going to ask you to get uncomfortable and come forward or turn around and kneel in your chair and pray. And I'm going to ask Evan and them to come up and start us with it. And if they feel led to pray, then come and join us. Would you join me as we go to prayer right now? Before you this morning in adoration and praise for who you are. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers, Lord, for our brothers and sisters who are out there. Give them a boldness, Lord, to spread the gospel. Give them a boldness, Lord, to be what you've called them to be. Give us a boldness, Lord, to be the church you've called us to be where you placed us. And Lord, we pray for this country. We lift it to you right now. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, that we have allowed so much to take place, that we are morally bankrupt, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. Bring revival. Bring revival, Lord, as you are doing right now. Bring revival. In Jesus' name. It's awesome that God accepts us right where we're at, right as we are. And the best part is he won't leave us there. He'll lead us on if we just are willing to follow. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that you have sent your Spirit to empower us, to enable us, to move amongst us, to provoke us, to convict us. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. Oh, Lord, we do pray for revival. We pray for it right now in Jesus' name, that it would spread from Kentucky and go out from there. That it would continue, Lord, to grow as a wave grows, Lord, as a tsunami that goes east to west till it covers this entire nation and goes beyond. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.